Here we are in our third week of the Advent season. So as we light this third candle, the pink candle, it symbolizes joy. It's called the Shepherd's Candle. And it's pink because rose is the turquoise, whatever, however that pronounces it. It's that thing for the color of joy. And so this Thursday of Advent is meant to remind us of the joy of that the world experienced at the birth of Jesus. Amen. As well as the joy of the faithful that reach midpoint of the Advent season. So let's... there it goes again. There it goes. Woo! It made it. Took a minute there. And as you can see, both messages have been about the same length of time because they're both pretty close. So get to see how, you know, get to see how that works out. That's kind of good, you know. So three men died on Christmas Eve and were met by St. Peter at the pearly gates. So Peter says, in honor of the holy season, you must each possess something that symbolizes Christmas to get to heaven. First man fumbled through his pockets and pulled out a lighter. He flicked it and he said, represents a candle. He said, you may pass through the pearly gates. Second man reached into his pocket, pulled out a set of keys and shook them and he said, they're bells. St. Peter says, that's good. Walk him through. Walked to the pearly gates. Third man started searching desperately through his pockets and finally pulled out a pair of woman's glasses. And St. Peter looked at the man with the raised eyebrow, a little confused, and asked, and just what does this symbolize? The man replied, they're carols.
I love it.
So here in our third week of the series Witness His Majesty. Today we're going to look at Joseph. And then next Sunday we'll look at the shepherd's wife. And then we'll finish up with the series with the wise man and on Christmas Eve. That will be Friday night, 7 p.m. Just so you can put that in your calendar, like candlelight service and all that. Next week, not this coming Friday, but the following Friday night. So now on to Joseph. Something incredible happened to Joseph when he opened the door of his life and walked into the dream that God had given for him. And something incredible happens to us when we do the same thing. Amen? When we just surrender ourselves enough to allow God's dream to become our dream and do those things. And I mean, think about it. For Joseph, it was the opportunity to step into the role of being the earthly father of Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, this Son of David. That was Joseph's role in this whole idea. And so I'm sure that, you know, marriage to Mary got off to a little different start to what Joseph was expecting. You know, Father God helped him have the courage to trust and move into a new day in a way he never saw coming, his original view of the situation from his, you know, first vantage point. And I'm here to tell you that God will go to whatever lengths necessary to help us see things through His viewpoint as He opens to us as new opportunities that he always had in mind for us. He's got things that we don't know about. And it's in Matthew's Gospel that we read about the record of Joseph, the moment that when God came knocking on Joseph's door and on his life, and it became a life-changing dream for Joseph. Not only would it alter his future, but the future of the soon-to-be growing family of his. But before we look into Matthew's gospel account, let's watch as Joseph tells his side of the story. Go ahead, Randy.
All right, old friend. Let's put some hinges on you. She has been on my case for a week now about you. You know that, don't you? Oh, yes. What would we do without her, huh? Mary. And to think, when it comes to Mary, I was asking a totally different question just a little while ago. What was I going to do with her? I was just trying to understand everything, but what was there to understand? I mean, she was pregnant. And she'd say over and over and over to me again, it's not what it seems. But I knew it didn't matter. It was just a matter of time before the whole community would start to question things. They started questioning who she'd been with. All my friends thought I'd been duped. The looks, the glares around town, the rumors. So many rumors. And it was all justifiable. Every bit of it. Because who was going to believe the story that we had to tell? An angel. Oh! Ah! An angel. I would go to her house. Her parents' house. I would go to her parents' house, and we'd sit on the floor away from windows, away from looks. And I would just say, Mary, tell me again, word for word, tell me what the angel said. And she would say the exact same thing every time. It was as if it was just seared into her. For he will be called Son of the Most High God. That's what the angel said. An angel. You'd think these calluses wouldn't grab a splinter after all these years. But sometimes the right one manages to get through. Guess it's like that dream I had. When every bone God built me with doubted Mary, God sent an angel to me to get through. Yep. There you are. Oh, yes. Now you get to do what you do best. Now you have two jobs, all right? Keep people out or let people in. I guess that's it. When God stands at the door and knocks, we either keep him out or we let him in. These are the only two options. It took everything. Everything to let you in. But there is not a day that goes by that I am not grateful for opening that door.
I mentioned last weekend, I wanted to challenge you this season. And I want to do the same thing today. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, gives us the account of Joseph's life. It says this. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and they gave him the name Jesus. Now, honestly, we are not privy to much of the details of Joseph's life in the pages of the Bible. We don't hear a lot about him. However, I can be fairly certain that, you know, most of the accounts, he had an important role, amen? But he wasn't in the Gospels a whole lot. This is pretty much what we hear about Joseph. We don't hear much about after he's born. We don't hear a lot about Joseph. There's not a lot of stuff in the Bible about him. But I can be fairly certain that, like most Jewish men, Joseph probably had dreamed of one day becoming a dad. Being dad of a healthy family. Hopefully being able to have a son to carry on the family name. I'm sure that was part of the dreams that Joseph had, but this dream that he had was slightly different than what he ever anticipated. Most dads worth their weight in salt have dreams for their kids. Amen? Honestly, what dad does not want to have their kids to have the best in life? And what dad wouldn't dream of their kids having, you know, great experiences and getting a good education, or, you know, becoming solid citizens that, you know, do things and being that special person that one day they fall in love with and have a family of their own? What dad would not want their kids not only to pursue their dreams, but truthfully also fulfill their dreams in the process? And in turn, live an extraordinary life that will leave a great legacy behind. That is what dads want. Paula Harvey had a classic line concerning the dreams that dads have for their daughters. He said, "Fathers are what give daughters away to other men who aren't nearly good enough, so they can have grandchildren that are smarter than anybody else's." And for the men who have sons, they dream that their little boy will grow up to be a great man who lives well, serves well, loves well, and leaves a mark in this world that makes it a better place. Dad's dreams of their sons and daughters having lived worthy lives of honor, integrity, dignity, honesty, and in the end be one that really matters. That's what dads dream. Yes, all dads worth anything have dreams for their kids. Amen? And these dreams, these dream desires, if you will, are true about our earthly dad. Whether we have a good relationship with him or not, is not an issue. Either way, I still believe that in the hearts of hearts, most dads, if given a choice for their kids to experience a life of great dreams or one of an unfulfilled dream and broken dream, most dads want their kids to have great dreams. Experience the great dreams that they have. And even if our earthly dad, you heard that, huh? didn't do so well helping to make these dreams come into reality. Most as probably would rather see their kids have dreams come true rather than left with broken and shattered dreams. Now, rather than whether that was true for you or not with the earthly dad, one thing I can be uncertain of: your heavenly father, your heavenly dad, certainly has big dreams for all his kids. Jeremiah says like this, Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And then there's the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, he goes on to say it this way in 1 Corinthians 2:9. "However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him." If you love the Lord, he's got good dreams for you. And here's some more really good news. Psalm 33:11 says, "But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever." They don't sway with the times. They don't sway with the culture. They don't sway with society. They stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through your generation. All generations. He's not concerned just about you. He's about your children's children. And your children's children's children. And as far as it can go back, as far as you can think back on the lineage of who you are, God is concerned, and he has got purposes of his heart for that generation. Amen? And even though there is no earthly dad who is perfect by any stretch of the imagination, your heavenly Father is perfect in every way. And he has big dreams for you. And he only wants what's best for you. So no matter where you are today or what kind of nightmare you might be living through in your life, God cares. Amen. And some of you hearing this today are dealing with some circumstances in your life that feel like a nightmare. They're not your sweet dreams. Maybe you're living a nightmare at work or at home, or maybe it's in a relationship with your in-laws who feel more like outlaws, and it's your kids, or it could be that there's an illness you're dealing with, as yourself with your family that you're going through it. Maybe it's a legal nightmare, or that nightmare that is hemorrhaging your bank account, just hemorrhaging that money out of that bank account and doing those things. We all live nightmare moments at times in our life. Amen. We're just not having the sweet dreams we had hoped for. And those nightmares can cause you to experience fear, anxiety, and worry, and doubt. And you wonder about that dream, if it ever is going to come to pass. You just wonder about that dream, if it's ever going to, how it's going to even turn out, because you're just living that nightmare moment. And whether you feel like you're living a nightmare, or all your dreams are coming true, or somewhere in the middle of both of those, hold on to this truth throughout this Christmas season, and even into next year. This truth is this: your Father in heaven has big dreams for you. Your Father in heaven has big dreams. He does. He loves you. He knows the plans he has for you. Our Heavenly Father knows us and knows what we need. Psalm 139:13-16 says this: "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God knows you. God loves you. And yes, sometimes the dreams that he has for us can cause us to go down some crazy paths. Take some turns that we never thought we'd have to take. Take us some directions that we think is sort of like out of GPS range. You know, it takes us places that we just don't quite understand. And so it takes us this path to full experience the bigness of those dreams. It has to be that way. It was certainly that way for Mary and Joseph. And truth is, I think sometimes we forget about that sometimes. We forget, you know, that God works that way sometimes. It's just that we have this spiritual Alzheimer's that affect our memories. And if you've ever had a family member, you know someone that has struggled with Alzheimer's disease, it's a terrible health condition that causes individuals to forget significant parts of their lives. Their memories get lost in the recesses of their mind. And they often can't remember significant people or places or events due to this frustrating disease that affects the person's mind. And when spiritual Alzheimer's sets in, we tend to forget how much God loves us. We tend to forget that all that Jesus did for us. We forget that just on the other side of the door he is knocking on, he has some incredible dreams for us to fulfill. Sometimes I think we walk around with spiritual Alzheimer's. We forget that we have a Father in heaven who wants the best for us, who knows what we need, and we can trust him with every aspect of our life. Of who we are in life. We can trust him. We can trust him. Amen. And that includes the dreams we have for our lives. But sometimes we forget that our Father has big dreams for us. Sometimes our lives not only are affected by spiritual Alzheimer's, but they're also affected by different kinds of spiritual immune deficiencies. Now, maybe you know this. I hope maybe you don't. If you don't, you'll learn it real quick. But if a person takes too many antibiotics throughout their lives, their body can build up an immunity to the very thing that's supposed to help them heal. And so that thing that was intended to heal to the point of the antibodies that they have no effect on us any longer. And I think at times we can walk through life with an immunity to all that God wants for us. An immunity that to the truth that we find in scriptures. And some of those great stories, we walk around with an immunity to the things that we hear and see and read, and you know, whether because we were, you know, given the wrong information or because, you know, whatever, we're just different things. And if we're not careful, the truth of God's word may have been fed into our lives to the degree that it no longer affects us like it's supposed to affect us. this certainty can it can be the case when it comes to the dreams that we have for our lives. And what we can fail to realize and remember is that at times God's dreams for our lives are bigger than anything that we ever could dream ourselves. Just so much bigger. Matter of fact, Scripture says His ways not our ways, His thoughts not our thoughts. I mean, His dreams for us are bigger than our dreams for ourselves. God's dreams go back further than we can remember and include truths that we may have built up kind of a spiritual immunity against over time. So perhaps God wants to pull us out of our spiritual Alzheimer's this Christmas season and invite you and I to be affected by the truth of who He is as our Heavenly Father. And maybe He'll use some of the stories of great father-son stories that we find in Scripture. There's no doubt that Joseph had a dream for his life, for Mary, for his children that were to come, you know, for his future family. There's no doubt Joseph had those dreams. Most dads do. However, God had a bigger dream, a much bigger dream than Joseph could have ever thought about, that Joseph could ever think about. Anything that, I mean, he could not have conjured this up in his mind. There's just no way. I mean, a virgin birth never happened before. I mean, who would have thought about that? It's like just an apple falls out of the ground, hit in the head, virgin birth. Ooh, you know, it's like, no, it's like that was something totally new. It was nothing that ever happened. This was a dream that nobody had ever experienced before in their life. And Joseph had to adjust what his dream was for his family to what God said your dream needs to be. The dream that God had for Joseph would include a family lineage that went back to the start of an ancient family tree, name mentioned at the very start of Matthew's Gospel. And while we may not have a lot about Joseph, we'd have quite a bit about Joseph's line in the family tree. The way Joseph responded to the invitation God gave him is similar to how Joseph's ancestors responded to when God called them many years earlier, when God gave them their dreams a long time ago. We see the name of the ancient ancestor of Joseph in Matthew 1, verses 1 and 2. It says this: "This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac the father of Jacob. Jake the father of Judah and his brothers." And so just as God had dreams for Joseph, God had some pretty big dreams for one of Joseph and Jesus' ancestors named Abraham. And even his son Isaac. Just like Joseph, God came knocking on the door of Abraham's life. And we see Abraham choose to open the door of his dreams that God had for his life, just like Joseph did. And we first meet this ancestor of Jesus by the abbreviated name of Abram in Genesis chapter 12. And this is when God started knocking on the door of Abram's life. And Abram walked right through the door into God's big plan that He had for him. God's big dream that He had for Abram. Genesis 12, 1 to 3 tells us the moment. Here it is. "The Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you I will curse, and all peoples of the earth will be blessed through you.' That's a pretty big dream. That's some pretty big shoes to fill. That's Abram's calling. That's what God had planned from Abram from the foundation of the world. Before one of them came to being, God had written down Abram to do those very things. In this brief part of the introduction of Abram's life, we see that God invited Abram to follow him in fulfilling a dream that at this time was filled with so many unknowns. I mean, think about it. Go from your country, your people, and your father's house, or land I'll show you, but God had not showed him yet. Leave. Where am I going? Just go. But wait. No, just go. This dream of his was had so many uncertain things happening. It had a lot of things, a lot of questions I'm sure that Abram could have had in the process. And so it had so many uncertainties. And just like Joseph, God gave a call to obey, and God would take care of the rest. Joseph would follow that call, and so did Abram. Neither one knew the details. They were lost. Think about it. Joseph gets his dream. I want to marry Mary. She's so good. You're pregnant. What? That's not what I expected. You know, who you been with? No one. Angel came and this is a child of the Holy Spirit. Wait, he's like, what? Joseph struggled with those things. He had all those things, all those questions. He had all those things he's trying to wonder. I mean, it was neither one knew the details that would unfold in the process of God making those dreams come true. In Abram's case, God just gave him a promise and a plan accompanied in time by a new name, Abraham. The promise that was that if Abram followed God, God would show him a new place to live. God would make Abram the father of a great nation. And not only would he be blessed by God, but also be a blessing to others throughout the world. That was his plan. And if we continue reading through Genesis, we would see that about a quarter century later, God would see his promises to Abraham becoming a father come to fruition. Quarter century, 25 years. His son would be named Isaac. And begin with this remarkable father-son story. The eventual lineage of Joseph and Jesus would unfold. As Isaac grew from a baby into a young adolescent boy, Abraham would be called to God once more to do something beyond his wildest dreams. The story is found in Genesis 22. This is where it's recorded. Listen to it. Verses 1 through 18. It says this. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Early next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. And as the two of them went together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, father. Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham went, built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him out of heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me." Now in this story from Joseph and Jesus' family tree, God asks Abraham to trust him with the promise. God invites Abraham to walk through the door of faith and trust God with the dream that he had given of his only son Isaac. So God invites Abraham to take Isaac to this place and be willing to lay him on the altar and sacrifice him. And not talking about just sacrificing all his son alone. He had to sacrifice his dreams. All the dreams that he thought God told him, he had to lay them at the altar and sacrifice those dreams. He had to sacrifice this dream that he had, this son that went with him. And he had to trust God that God knew what he was doing. And Abraham did it. Could you have? And because Abraham did it, God provided. And if we are not careful, we will simply come to the end of reading that story and we'll think to ourselves, "Isn't God good? Yay, God!" I mean, we come and we stop it. Woo! God's good. And then we might say, at least to ourselves, we might think, I'll try to remember, God, that you want me to lay down my dreams because you have bigger dreams for me. I've got it. And I'll try to remember that. But perhaps, God may want to invite us to think about something in a different way. As if to say, don't let your spiritual Alzheimer's cause you to forget and rob you of the magnitude of what I have planned for you. Don't allow it to rob you of the magnitude of what happened in Genesis 22, because, you know, what we sometimes forget is that these were real people with real emotions and real feelings who had to infuse a real trust in the Almighty God of heaven in a real difficult situation. These are not just names on a page. These are people in the family tree of Joseph and Jesus who lived and breathed in a real point in history. So let's think in those first three words of Genesis 22, sometime later. Other translations say, after these things. And that phrase, after these things, it begs the question, after what things? After what things? So let me give you a bullet-pointed backstory of what happened. And they can be found in Genesis 11 through 21. That sort of helps us to fully understand this part of history, this phrase in history that happened in Genesis 22. After the Tower of Babel, the story is in Genesis 11, where God confused the languages of all the peoples on the earth due to the arrogance and idolatry. We see in Genesis 12 that God brought Abraham out of an idol-infested land called Ur and into the land of Canaan. God promised a 75-year-old Abraham, who was childless, that he was going to lead a new land, that lead him a new land and make him the father of many nations. And just as God had said, God fulfilled his promise to Abraham and his wife Sarah, and they became pregnant 25 years later. Abraham became a dad at the age of 100. Hello. Yeah. After living a laughable 25 years in the past, their peers would have laughed at the idea of Abraham's name and his dream and promise that God had given to them. And now the dream comes true. Abraham is a dad! His one and only son, Isaac, is now getting ready to go into youth group. And then we find ourselves in Genesis 22. Verses 1 through 3 that said, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering, at one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. God called him to go and take care and slay his son. After all this, and we forget that sometimes God may just want us to trust Him like Abraham did. God wants us to trust our most precious dreams to Him, our Heavenly Father. Let me ask you a question. What if, instead of taking the reins of our life and the dreams of our life, we responded and said, like Abraham, what if we instead would choose to lay down on the altar and be willing to let God have His way with our life and with the dreams of our life? God has some big dreams for our lives if we'll trust Him with the dreams He has for our lives. They are bigger dreams than the dreams that our earthly dads had for us. And whatever your dream might be in life, the dream of who you'll become, the dream of where you will live, the dream of who you'll end up with, the dream of a perfect relationship, the dream of a great job, the dream of an incredible legacy and family and friends, the dreams of our Heavenly Father that He has for His kids. Oh, eye has not seen, ear has not heard. The dream that He has are just, they're way bigger. They're way more consequential than any dream you could have for yourself and for your life. Joy, would you come? That was true for Abraham. That would be true for Isaac. That eventually would be true for Joseph. And it would lead Jesus to be born in a manger that one day would lead to a cross. What Jesus would do on the cross would enable him to become the door for you and I to step into right relationship with God. God did all of this because He wants you to believe that your Heavenly Father really does love you. That your Heavenly Father really did create you with a plan and a purpose. Because your Heavenly Father really does know what you need before you even ask Him. Because your Heavenly Father really does have your best interests at heart. And your Heavenly Father really can be trusted with all your hopes and dreams. If you believe these statements to be true, then the question I believe God would have for us this Christmas is, are you willing to lay down your dreams for your life and trust God the big dreams that He has for your life? It's basically the same question He asked Abraham about his firstborn son Isaac. Lay down at the altar? Likewise, it's the question God was asking Joseph about concerning his soon-to-be firstborn son, Jesus. The circumstances, oh sure, they were different. However, the dreams God had in mind were bigger than either could ever imagine. Both Abraham and Joseph walked through the door that God had knocked on and said, "Can I be your dreamer?" Both Abraham and Joseph walked the door when God came knocking. They laid their dreams down on an altar and followed God as He led them. Are we willing to do the same? And we sing this song before that says, "I surrender all." And I really wonder sometimes if we surrender all. I surrender all except my bank account. I surrender all except my dream. I surrender all except for You want to take me. Are we willing, really willing to just lay everything like Abraham did with Isaac at the altar and say, "God, You know best"? I love what Abraham said when he went to sacrifice Isaac. He said, you know, his son says, "Well, Dad, where's the sacrifice? You got the wood, we got the fire, where's the sacrifice?" "Oh, God will provide it for us." Leaves the service at the bottom of the mountain, says, "We'll return." Something inside of Abraham knew that this was God's dream from the get-go. This was something God had shown from the very get-go. It's something that there's no way God's going to take back, because I think Abraham knew that, you know, all the promises of God are yes and amen. And so he just kept sticking with it. I says, "I don't know, boy, but God will provide." And sometimes we just hesitate so much on just letting God take the dreams. Because I'll tell you, His dreams are so much bigger than our dreams. I've seen it in my own life. Like, God, I never expected this. And He's just like, whew, it's overwhelming. Why? Because His dreams are big. I'll tell you, if we'll just trust Him enough to lay at the altar and say, God, everything I have, it's yours. My family, I've tried, and some aren't loving you like they should. They're yours. I'll pray for them. I'll love on them. I'll speak life to them. I'll speak the word to them. But God, they're yours. God, I had dreams of where I thought I'd be by now, but I lay them at the altar as well. I just give them to you, and you, I know, have bigger dreams. They're yours. Everything I am, everything I have, every beat of my heart, it's yours. Give me the courage of a Joseph, that when things come my way I just don't understand, I'll trust in you. Given the faith of Abraham, said, God, I don't know where you're taking me, but I trust in you. Given the faith of a David, as a young lad, just as a shepherd boy, takes up 5 smooth stones and knocks down a giant. Father, today, I, for one, give you my dreams. So, Father, today I just come to you. I come boldly to your throne of grace right now for each one that's here. Each one that's listening online, I just trust in you, God. I just ask your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. And if there's been dreams we've held on to that we're just wondering, God, that how they're going to turn out, we just need to know that we can trust in you. So help us today, God, to trust in you with every part of our life, with every part of our being, to every dream that we've ever had. Let us hold the big things that you've given to us. For I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that your dreams are much bigger than my dreams. And I know that you have dreams for every single one of your children. So speak to our hearts this week, God. Speak to our hearts today, this week, this month, this year, God. Speak to our hearts. And let us stand and go boldly to the throne of grace and trust in you in all our ways. And lean not on our own understanding, but acknowledge you, for you will direct our path. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to know that Thou art with me and will be with me to the end. Thank you, Father. Father, for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for loving us when we even have spiritual Alzheimer's. And we forget about how much you really do. Wipe the scales from our eyes and help us to see you through your vantage point that will grow into the man and the woman of God that you have called us to become. And I give you all honor, all glory, and all praise. In Jesus' name, the church says,